Chapter 5. Rachel. Tuesday, 16th of July, 2013. I'm on the morning train. I'm going to walk around Whitney and see if any memories come back. Megan is still missing. According to the news, Scott has admitted that he and Megan argued on Saturday evening. He thought his wife had gone to spend the night with a friend, Tara Epstein, but she never arrived there. A witness saw Megan walking towards Whitney Station on Saturday evening, and that was the last time she was seen. Things don't look good for Scott. But what if the police don't know about the boyfriend? I could be the only person who knows. What if the boyfriend harmed her? Should I tell the police about him? It's early evening now, and I'm on the train home. It was really strange walking around in Whitney. As I started to go down Blenheim Road, I looked into the dark underpass that goes under the railway. I never go down there. I don't like it. But when I looked in, I could suddenly see myself there. Against the dirty wall, blood covering both my head and hands. But why would I have gone into that horrible underpass? I turned around and hurried back to the station. I walked quickly up the steps there, and as I did, another memory came to me. I'd fallen on the steps. Not badly, but a man had taken my arm and helped me up again. It was the man from the train, with the short, fair hair. I remembered a smile and me laughing at myself. He was nice to me. I'm not far from home when my phone rings. It's Kathy. Rachel, come home, she says. She sounds anxious. The police are here and they want to talk to you. Wednesday, 17th of July, 2013. I was panicking by the time I got back to the flat last night. Had I done something terrible on Saturday night? Did the police know something I didn't? Two police officers were sitting in the living room.
I'm Detective Inspector Gaskill, the older officer said as I sat down. We're here to ask you what you did on Saturday evening.
Oh, I said. I went to Whitney to see my husband.
Do you mean your ex-husband, Tom Watson? The detective said.
Yes, but then I decided it wasn't a good idea, so I came home.
What time did you go to Whitney and how long were you there? He asked.
It was, I think I got the train at about 6, I answered, and I was there for maybe an hour before I came back.
What did you do while you were there? He said.
I walked around a bit, I told him. Then I realised I hadn't asked why he wanted to know. That would surely seem strange, so I said. But why do you need to know all this? What's going on?
Well, Gaskill said, Ms. Megan Hipwell has been missing since last Saturday. You were seen on Blenheim Road, where Ms. Hipwell lives, that evening around the time she left her home. The witness, Mrs. Anna Watson, told us she saw you near Miss Hipwell's house. You were acting strangely.
I felt very anxious, and I could feel my heart racing in my chest. All I could see was myself in the underpass, blood on my hands. Blood on my hands. My blood, surely. I didn't do anything, I said. I didn't. I just wanted to see my husband.
Your ex-husband, Gaskill repeated.
Then he took something out of his pocket and showed it to me. It was a picture of Megan. I stared at it.
Did you see this woman on Saturday night?
I don't think so, I said.
You don't think so, so maybe you did see her.
I'm not sure.
Anna Watson said she thought you were drunk when she saw you. Were you drunk?
No, I said nervously. I'd had a couple of drinks, but I wasn't drunk.
Gaskell sighed. He seemed disappointed in me. "If you remember anything important about Saturday night, call me, please," he said. Then, as he walked away, he turned and said, "Do you work for a company in London called Huntingdon Whiteley?" "Yes, that's right," I said. I was stupid to lie about my job. He could easily check that. So I went to the police station this morning to tell them. I saw Gaskell and a woman, Detective Sergeant Riley. I told them that I don't work for Huntingdon Whiteley any longer, and I described the fair-haired man who helped me at the station. Gaskell asked me more questions. I admitted that I'd lost my job, and that I've been travelling to London by train for 3 months, pretending to go to work every day. It sounded crazy when I heard myself say it. Then Riley started talking about Anna. "Mrs. Watson told us you've been causing problems, phoning them, appearing outside their house. She said that once you broke into their home and took their young daughter." "That's not true," I said. "I didn't take her. That's wrong." I was very upset. I started crying and shaking. Gaskell said gently, "I think there's more you want to tell me. But why don't you go and sit in the park for a while, then come back?" I sat in Whitney Park and watched the mothers pushing their babies in buggies. I used to dream of being one of them, with my own beautiful child. Tom and I tried everything and paid for specialist treatment, but it never happened. I felt lonely and sad, and everyone I knew seemed to be having babies. I started to drink a little to feel better, and then I drank a bit more, and then a lot more, and then I lost my marriage. Not long after, Tom became a father. I was hurt, angry, and desperate. I don't know what my motive was when I went to the house. Maybe I wanted them to see my pain. "I didn't break into their home," I told Gaskell when I returned to the police station. "I just wanted to speak to Tom, but no one came to the front door. So I climbed over the fence into the back garden to see if he was there. I didn't see anyone, but the doors into the house were open. So I put my head inside and called Tom's name. There was no answer, but I could hear a baby crying. I stepped inside, and I saw Anna on the sofa, sleeping. The baby was in the buggy next to her, screaming and red in the face. So I picked the baby up to calm her, that's all." "But then you took the child down to the train tracks, didn't you?" Riley says coldly. She thinks I'm lying. "And Mrs. Watson, Anna, came out and found you there. Did you plan to harm the child?" I wanted to make them see what a crazy suggestion that was. "I came here to tell you about the man to help you," I said. "How are these questions connected to Megan Hipwell?" Riley said, "The night Megan went missing, you were seen drunk and upset on the street where she lives. And Megan and Mrs. Watson do look very similar. They aren't anything like each other." The idea made me angry. "Megan is nothing like Anna." "Well, they're both blonde, slim, quite short and a pale-skinned. Are you saying I attacked Megan because I thought she was Anna? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard," I said. It was time to tell them what I knew. "What about Megan's lover? Maybe he has some information," I said confidently. Neither of them answered. They just stared at me. "Did you know she was having an affair?" I told them how I used to see Megan on her terrace as I went past on the train. I told them about last Friday when I saw her standing there kissing a tall, dark-skinned man who wasn't her husband. At the end, Gaskell shook my hand and said, "Thank you. Oh, and Ms. Watson, don't contact your ex-husband and don't go near Anna Watson or her child, or Blenheim Road." Thursday, 18th of July, 2013. I emailed Scott this morning. His address was easy to find. I searched for him online and found his email address on his business website. I wrote, "Dear Scott, my name is Rachel Watson. You don't know me. I would like to talk to you about your wife. I don't know where she is or what happened, but I have information that could help you. If you want to talk, please email me. Yours sincerely, Rachel." In the evening, when I'm on the train home, I look at the latest news on my phone. I read that a 35-year-old man is being questioned by police. That's Scott, I'm sure of it. I'm deep in thought when the train comes to a stop at Whitney Station. I look up, and suddenly he's there. The man who helped me on the steps. And he's staring at me as he moves past my seat. I panic, hold my breath, and look down. A moment later, he's got off the train. Of course, I immediately regret not following him. Perhaps he could tell me what happened or what didn't happen that night. But it's too late. The train has moved on. Friday, 19th of July, 2013. Gaskill rang this morning and asked me to go to the police station. When I arrived, he showed me photos of five people. Scott Hipwell, three men I'd never seen before, and the man I'd seen with Megan. I pointed to Megan's lover. But as I was going back along the corridor, I was shocked to see Scott Hipwell himself walking towards me with Riley at his side. He was more beautiful close up than I'd imagined. He looked strong and full of nervous energy. When he passed me, our eyes met for just a moment. It was exciting. Today has been a good day. I feel I'm getting better, that I'm going to be happy, and I've even managed 3 days without drinking. But because Kathy's away for the weekend and I have the flat to myself, I'm going to have a gin and tonic to celebrate. Saturday, 20th of July, 2013. I never learn. I wake up feeling awful, and I know I've done something stupid, but it's not until I see my laptop open on the floor near my bed that a memory comes back to me. I sent Tom an email last night. I check, and there it is. "Could you tell your wife to stop lying to the police about me? She said I keep calling and coming to stare at her and her ugly screaming baby. What rubbish! Tell the stupid woman to leave me alone." My stomach turns over. If Tom shows the email to the police, I'll be in trouble. I have to apologise to him. But then I notice a second sent email, and this one is to Scott Hipwell. "Dear Scott, sorry for contacting you again, but it's important that we talk. I'm not sure if Megan ever mentioned me. I'm a friend from her gallery, and I used to live in Whitney. I have information that would interest you. Please email me, Rachel Watson." Drunk Rachel lied to him. Scott has replied, and he's given me his phone number. There's no going back now. If I don't contact him, he'll tell the police. So I nervously call his number. He suggests I go to his house to talk. At first, I refuse, but by the end of the call, I've agreed to see him this evening. I know it's a bad idea. He could be dangerous. His wife has been missing for a week, and he's probably a suspect. But this is the house I've watched 100 times from the train. This is my chance to go inside, to sit in his kitchen, on his terrace, to be in the places where I've seen them together. So although I know I should stay away, I go.